thing. I guess I'd like to start just by asking you. So I've lived in Hudson since around 2006, around then, but I wasn't really, I was aware of the battle going on as an outsider, but not someone who's really like participating in the city or super aware of those issues at the time. And so it was really interesting to now be a kind of a headlong participant in Hudson and watch this really, you know, intimate documentary with that knowledge. I guess I want to start by asking you how much the city has changed or not changed in the time since that battle. I guess something I noticed at the end of the movie, I guess Jake Walthor said that he had hoped that the next chapter for the town was unity after that battle. So I guess I'd start there.
Well, things definitely have changed. Since the movie was made and aired, it was 6 years ago. A lot of the movie is about the battle, who was involved. I also ran for mayor at that time. That was 2003, so there was a lot of things that went on around that particular battle. Mm-hmm. I think unity is definitely something that once the cement plant battle was won, and there were certain divisions that occurred, and I think probably there should have been another movie about what happens after these particular battles are waged, what happens to the community. And there were certain divisions definitely occurred, and things changed. People moved on. Some people, there are many people in the movie that it simply are not here anymore. Mm-hmm. They're gone. People moved out, changed their ideas or, you know, where they wanted to be. Mm-hmm. There was a tremendous amount of unity because there was a focus. I think once that focus left, the unity divided and people perhaps put things aside during the battle. Yeah. And then once things, the battle was over, then perhaps the focus diminished and people basically perhaps had some things they wanted to settle.
Mm-hmm. So I guess...
I'm having trouble hearing.
Oh, really? Do you want to try another set of headphones?
Yeah, let
maybe
me see.
I can turn them up a little. So.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
Technology,
it's both a blessing and a curse.
So we learn more every day. Is that better?
I don't hear
no? Hold on. Maybe these ones aren't even plugged in.
I don't hear anything. I'm out talking in the void. Maybe they're not plugged in. Sorry about that.
Sorry, we in
there we go.
The switches,
thank you.
They happen quickly here.
Yeah,
now I can hear. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so I guess listening to you say that, I guess there are a couple of things come to mind. And in the movie, a lot of, I guess, people from both sides of the debate kind of cited SLC for creating, you know, false division or divisions, you know, by kind of like sowing like a class war. That term is thrown around a lot in the film by, again, people on both sides of the issue. Do you think that's something, have you seen that division, that idea grow or diminish with the changes that have happened in the intervening systems?
You know, at the time when St. Lawrence certainly became a big player in this community, it was like, I know one of the favorite things they said is, you don't want those gay antique dealers to run your community, do you? And that was one way to divide the community instantly. When I went campaigning door to door, there was always the discussion about those antique dealers and those they, them, whoever those are. And I think there's a lot of those divisions still exist. Mm-hmm. The difference between the poor and the people who had a relationship with the cement plant, the people who were on pensions. I think a lot of the people who fought the battle didn't really understand the huge implication of the cement plant in our community, that it actually, you know, like the Walthours, supported people going to school, gave them summer jobs. Mm-hmm. There's a long history of industry in this community, and I think that for some was like, well, we arrived, and since I've arrived, nothing else matters. And that, I think, the one side was short-sighted in the sense that it didn't really understand what it meant in terms of a job for some people in the community, and the other side was this was a new plant, and this plant was far more toxic than any plant that had ever been in this community. Mm-hmm. The Clean Air Act dismantled the cement plants in the 70s, thanks to Richard Nixon, hard to believe.
Yeah.
It's always tricky, this sort of like... The class war goes on, and it doesn't stop. You witness it on the north side of Hudson versus the south side. Mm-hmm. There's the truck route. Who's on one side of the truck route? Who's on the other side? Where should the gravel trucks now go? What neighborhood should they go through? What's fair? What's not fair? And those arguments are deep divisions, mm-hmm. and rarely do these people ever meet at a restaurant in Hudson or... Those sides are always polarized and stay deeply divided, and that hasn't changed.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some new interest in terms of who's who and on what side.
And there's also all these people coming down from New York City that kind of spread the just for lack of a better term, like the gay antique dealer. You know, mm-hmm. like they support them as opposed to not the cement, because that's no longer, but, like, you know, what the lower and middle class families are working on, so.
Yeah, and I think it's hard to realize that many of the families here, their children simply have no future in these communities. I don't think that's unusual in any community in America.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, having your children have to go somewhere else to work is part of what goes on in the American stream.
Mm-hmm.
I left Indiana to go off to do something that was some 60-some years, not quite 60, but yeah. Half a century ago.
Yeah.
And I think that is, we are a transient culture. Mm-hmm. We have to go to school somewhere else. And I think, the longing to keep the unity together is something we all desire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Community, unity. The only difference is COMM.
Thanks, Jeff.
Sorry. Sorry, just...
All right. No, good for you.
Absolutely. I guess... And that's... I wonder... Because, as much division as that caused, there was just... In watching that movie and just thinking about the intensity of that movement, I feel like... people really did cross bridges and go out of like their zone in terms of, they're just making that movement work and happen. Is there anything that you can imagine that would kind of coalesce people in this community at this point in time? What do you think, for example? Yeah, exactly.
Having watched various and sundry elections occur here, it seems to always sort of be divided in the people, the old-timers versus mm-hmm. the new-timers, the people that are, it continues the class division and the class war. Should the next mayor be from Hudson, or should they be an outsider? If they are going to be an outsider, what is that outsider? What moment in time? How far outside?
Yeah.
Does Linda Mussman qualify as an outsider or an insider, or doesn't belong to any one group? Or, who are the people who are involved at the radio station? Where do they stand on different issues? Well, they're not supposed to stand anywhere. They're supposed to be nonpartisan. Well, that's nearly impossible in a community like this small.
Then again, we stand on the right side on all the issues, so... We're always right.
Where'd you get this correct guy?
Yeah. We've been working on him.
Okay. I like it. That's his spirit.
He's ours.
As you watch the elections, as you watch what's going on in our country, mm-hmm. I think we're deeply divided. It's sort of the Hegel's dream. This mm-hmm. like two distinct different sides are never the twain shall meet. Therefore, we're sort of stuck.
Yeah.
And how to unstuck things is really the big question. So maybe that's the thing to really rally people around. How do you actually create an idea that everyone could have their voice be heard, an opinion, get them involved? I go to a lot of places in the community. I see certain groups in the community yeah. participating, but I rarely see the people who are less fortunate or there's not the crossover. I mean, if I go to the grocery store, I generally see my neighbors.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't see them hanging out at one of the upscale restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
It's financial.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, you know, perhaps it is about welcome.
Yeah.
Do people feel comfortable there? You know, do people feel embraced? Or are people fearful of the outsider as a gentrifier who's coming in to basically, you know, scope the neighborhood, purchase something, and push them out? And I think
carpet
that's a
baggers.
Reality.
Carpet baggers.
It's not a new idea.
Yeah. No, it certainly is. I guess.
It's a lot about real estate and about, you know, the value of things. After 9/11, there was another boom here in the community. It mm-hmm. was, I think it had a bigger impact in many ways on the community, equal to winning the cement plant. I mean, after the cement plant was, the victory was won, there wasn't like, I mean, things, you know, were pretty much, they were the same.
Yeah.
Lives didn't really change that much. But once, you know, when 9/11 happened, people were really eager to change their life and mm-hmm. move to a place like Hudson.
Absolutely.
So I think different things cause, you know, certain changes in a community. There's a lot of things that have made from the cement plant struggle forward. I think gossip, hearsay, innuendo, spin, they did this, she did that, he did this, she should have done this and that. I think the sort of slamming and smearing of people becomes, after a while, extremely small town. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, the blogosphere spends a lot of time accusing people of things or making innuendos about situations that a lot of people like you, for example, who are newer to the community, how do you sort it out? Maybe there has to be a sort out kind of opportunity.
Some sort of arbiter.
WGC.
I was going to say, Jack.
Well, let's figure out, well, what exactly did happen? I mean, there's a lot of anxiety over this, mm-hmm. the waterfront plan.
Mm-hmm.
That was something I participated in, and there was like, well, Linda Mussman did this or didn't do this or should have done this and that. And I think, you know, the reality is that when you get into positions which are political, you have to depend on the political will of the how it works.
Mm-hmm.
People vote. There are situations where votes are taken.
Mm-hmm.
People have dreams and wants and wills, and when it all settles down, it is about democracy and who has the votes to support and sustain an idea.
Yeah.
And that, for activists, is a very hard thing to come to understand. Mm-hmm. I mean, many people want what they want under the conditions of just because they want it. How do you achieve it is the long haul.
Yeah.
And when you watch the president the other night, it seemed that he's extremely tired, because I think the reality of democracy, excuse me, is very present in his life, where when he was a candidate, campaigning and hopes and dreams are very different than the reality of actually bringing things to the table and making them real. The good thing about the waterfront plan is that it took the industry out of the waterfront,
mm-hmm.
which we were at risk over. But it's a long road.
Yeah.
All roads are long when it comes to change and trying to get consensus.
Mm-hmm.
Not easy.
Okay. So this brings me, your first run for mayor was directly linked to that struggle, and you've run several times since
mm-hmm.
then. And I guess I'm interested in why I guess every election has been different, you know, and so you're reacting to different things every time, or I don't know. I'm curious, is that something you see yourself doing again? I know it's been, I imagine it's been stressful at times.
Well, it's very stressful because I'm, you know, certainly people are very, you know, are not sometimes pleasant, or they attack you personally. They don't understand. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to try to even listen to anything you bring to the table. I ran in 01 because there was really no one that spoke out against the cement plant. And it was an opportunity for me to go door to door, and I garnered quite a few votes, and that certainly perked people up. And the next time I ran in 03, and that was a very close race, and I almost won, which is what you see in the movie. And there was a lot of, you know, the cement plant certainly was a player. I certainly saw St. Lawrence Cement up close. The things that were done to me, the sort of dirty tricks, the viciousness, even Mayor Scalera did some things that were not particularly pleasant, and stealing my name, for example, was one. Mm. And I've run following that over for different reasons. One, I think I have a lot to offer the city of Hudson. I think as a person, as a personality, and the things I've brought to this community speak volumes of who I am.
Absolutely.
I think I'm a very fair person, and I'm unique in the sense that I am clear in my vision in certain, you know, that whether I'm a Democrat or I was the head of the Democratic Party or how I should act or, you know, what I should do and all that. I think in a small community is a very tricky business, you know. I have a lot of issues around the Democrats. When it comes to issues like jobs and fairness, I think a lot of what I see doesn't really stack up there, that it leaves us short here. Do we support unions? Do we support fair housing? I mean, all those things, when I hear the debates rage on, those are the least of interest. It tends to be a little too elite and a little too about my view and money, and it is really doesn't really go to the core of democratic principles.
It's true.
Women's rights, health care, abortion, a lot. I mean, what goes on in the county jail, what goes on in the courthouse, what goes on in our school. These are really burning issues for me.
Absolutely.
And those are the things that I think the Democrats should really focus on. And really, you know, I'm all for business, I'm all for things to develop, but I think when, you know, the wages are so low here, that startup wages at Flanders are $7.50 or $8. That's very difficult to live on that salary in this community, mm-hmm. or any community. What is it like if I work at Walmart and I don't have health care? I mean, that to me is, those are things that I think as, you know, a community, a country, we need to really address. And then, that's what I stand for.
And then also, like, in Greenport, like, it used to be like kind of a small town, and now it's there's the Walmart, there's the TJ Maxx, you know, like, is that good? And if it's bad, how do we stop Hudson from turning into it? Like, if it.
Well, I think those are, you know, that's a really good question. The issue is that the Walmarts and the ShopRites and the TJ Maxx are offering employment for some people that have no opportunities. So you have to say that's a good thing.
And tangentially, I mean, that was something that I was thinking about, you know, just in all of this, the reason that people really supported the plant was the idea that they would get jobs. And moreover, you know, it seems very apparent that that wouldn't have been a reality for the people who are actually seeking the jobs. But, you know, while Hudson continues and, like, the community surrounding it, but mostly Hudson specifically, you know, there are more jobs here, but they're geared towards this very specific type of, you know, they're just small jobs or jobs that, you know, really don't support a family.
Right.
They're nice, kind of cozy, you know, you're an artist half time, and then also, you know, and so I'm just wondering what is the solution there? Or do you, is there something?
I think the idea of stimulus funds, and I've been thinking a lot about this, mm-hmm. that it really didn't trickle down to the people like us and communities like, I mean, I run TSL. It's very hard for me to continue hunting for money when the average person has very little discretion to give much more. Mm-hmm. So you have to go to big corporations, or you have to go to the same pool, and we're all going there. Mm-hmm. That it would have been really helpful if the stimulus funds could have come to this community and allowed us to hire people with real salaries, health care, and so on. Mm-hmm. It would have made a big difference to a radio station or a TSL or et cetera if we could have actually had some real job opportunities to come to us. And that I haven't seen that since Jimmy Carter. The CETA program was a great program. I remember La Mama hired an entire acting group, and they were all employed. They did great work. They had great opportunities. I think this idea of how do we get the political people in our community to filter some of this kind of money to a culturally rich community like ours would make a difference. Because, look, we're competing with China or people who are providing cheaper labor than we can. So I think culturally we can offer a lot. So who gets the money here?
Yeah.
I don't see that change in the 20-some years I've been in Hudson. I see the same people, the same organizations get the same pot of money to build something, but I rarely see the money go to people, to hire people, to educate, to help, to give opportunities for people to move, really make a step up, rather than just a Band-Aid. Yeah. And the Band-Aid concept really doesn't help us. It just kind of, you know, creates this interim, which is necessary, but it isn't really solution to the big problem of what happens in places like Hudson or Greenport or Columbia County.
Were you going to say something, Jack?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I mean, these are the things that I think, the congressman, the senators, the governor needs to hear from Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have, let's say the economic development people don't speak for me because I can't get in the room. How do they know what I need if they don't ask or I can't get my voice heard?
I think it's as a not-for-profit?
What does this community need? If you keep going to the same people and the same, this is the 21st century. We got to move forward. There's a lot of people here who need education and need opportunities that are alternative ideas.
Yeah.
And the alternative ideas, we're still acting like it's the 1800s here. You know, the schools are locked into the 19th century. Some people haven't even arrived at the 20th, so how do we push this idea forward? And, you know, we should be in the streets in reality. But it's so scary to be in the streets, right? How do you get people to get off their chairs and on their, you know, how do we move
find
the feet?
Energy and time to think
it's
about
time.
That,
and you're all, you know, kids are leaving college with huge debts.
Mm-hmm.
So where is your time to be a voice, to be heard?
Absolutely.
When you're having three or four jobs and you're strapped down, you can't buy something because the student loan limits you. I mean, I would advocate for forgiving all these student loans so that people like yourselves could join the stream and actually move your lives forward rather than be in debt for something that you can't even find a job for.
Yeah.
Have you heard that lately?
Yeah. Here and there.
These are the things I think we need to hear over and over.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. You know, thank you.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm perpetually running for office.
So
I never stop because the reality is we need to keep challenging and asking and questioning, and we need to be a critic, and we need to be a voice that speaks
truth
to power. Right.
Well, it's almost a form of activism in itself at some level, you know, the idea of candidacy. Maybe.
And because an election stops or I don't win or I come close, it doesn't mean that I go back to whatever I was doing. That is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And Eugene Debs ran many times.
Yeah.
You know who that guy
My
is?
My idol.
Right.
My idol.
From Indiana, let me tell you. These are really important people in the history of making change in America. And all these things make a difference. Campaigns are very important platforms to have ideas heard.
Absolutely.
And those are exciting. It's exciting. But it isn't exciting when you have all this money enter, for example, these big, you know, these president things, they really aren't. What's important are the school board elections and the mayor of Hudson and the mayor of whoever, Greenport and Stockport and Port.
Yeah.
Timbuktu Port.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think.
So how are we doing?
I think we're good. I mean, do you have anything else you'd like to say?
Well, I think people should examine all things. This history is very important to communities. I think it was a historical point in time. Mm-hmm. I think it is a great opportunity to have a dialogue, and I think a lot of the people should be at the table
talking about what
the changes are and what happened and where is Hudson going and how can it get there.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing community of potential.
Yeah.
So thanks for having me.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. It's been great.
All right. So we'll be back in a couple
minutes.
Couple or minutes seconds. Or hopefully seconds, minutes.
Hours. Hit those switches.